what history have you got on me?
I have some history on you. Volume's up the whole way. Okay. So I believe we are recording right now. Fine. What history do I have on you? You first joined up with the NCOs when the Airborne just started. Correct. In 76? 78?
68.
68. And then you also went on, you went on a tour in Cyprus. When the Turks invaded, correct? Okay. So I just kind of am going to start out with some general questions, if that's okay.
Perfect.
So, what sort of first motivated you to join the Canadian Airborne?
Our unit was disbanding, Queen's Own Rifles.
Okay.
At the time, I was at the Depot Recruit Training Center as an instructor.
Okay.
And I had two choices. Either the Airborne Regiment or Civic Fleet.
Okay.
Because I was a bit of a rebel.
Okay.
In my younger years.
Mm-hmm. So you chose the Canadian Airborne?
Yeah. I decided, well, why not? Wanted action.
Yeah. Did you, what was your experience in the Queen's Own Rifle?
I joined the Queen's Own Rifle in 1957.
Okay.
Took my basic depot in Calgary.
Okay.
Stayed with the Queen's Own in Calgary 57 to 60. Went to Germany in 1960 with the Queen's Own.
Okay.
Doing the Cold War and the Berlin Wall.
Oh, wow.
Upcoming.
How was that, or what was that like?
Well, working 6 days a week in Europe at the time wasn't much of the only thing. The nightlife was good.
Yeah, good nightlife.
Well, then good entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And the mark was good. We were getting $4, a 4 marks, 26 pennies to the dollar, which Canadian soldier was. You could drink all week. You still have $10 left over.
Was there a family tradition? Did you have family members who were in the Army?
All of my uncles, except my dad, was a designated individual who had to stay back home. All of my uncles on my father's and mother's side were Second World War.
Was that sort of,
Because we were under the British flag at the time. We were colonists. Had no choice, right?
Yeah. Was that sort of, because it was in your family, was that sort of one of the reasons why you wanted to join?
Yeah. And there was nothing in Newfoundland.
Okay.
Except slave labor.
Fishing.
Eh?
And fishing.
Logging. I logged for 2 years before I joined the military.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So, you know, when I've been doing my research about the Airborne and talking to some of the other veterans, it's been, you know, the Airborne has a reputation of being really hard and kind of being kind of like a rebel group, like you said, kind of bringing all those sort of men together. Would you agree with that statement, that it was kind of a rough group? Tough.
See, you know why the Airborne Regiment broke up, obviously, because you've done research.
Yeah.
They weren't a rough group.
No.
They were a bunch of soldiers who projected themselves that there was no task that they could not fulfill.
Okay.
That was their thinking. And we proved that in many occasions exercising with the British Special SAS.
Okay.
And the Canadian government at the time, and the commandos, which we had some excellent commanders, but we had, pardon my French, very piss poor politicians who had no control.
Okay.
And they didn't know what they had until they disbanded the Airborne Regiment. Yes, they were rugged, rough, and ready. You don't train 24/7 to kill just to become streetwalkers.
Yeah.
You train 724 to kill for a purpose.
Yeah.
We were trained killers, yes. Just that simple.
Did you see lots of casualties when you were in Turkey? Or in Cyprus, sorry?
74? We have pictures of dead after the invasion.
Hmm. Okay, so what was your training like when you first joined the Canadian Airborne?
Our training was very intense.
Mm-hmm.
Very physical.
Yeah.
Very demanding in exercises from all areas of continent.
Okay.
From the north.
Yeah.
To Australia.
Oh,
to Jamaica.
Was there ever a time where you wish you didn't join the airborne?
What are you talking? When you talk of the airborne,
mm-hmm.
you talk of the special.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Do you want me to turn off the recorder?
You talk of the very special bond of people.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Some you lose.
Mm-hmm.
And you would never think while you're doing your training with the airborne regiment that you would go through these phases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, later in life.
Mm-hmm.
But reality kicks in and you have to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a moment that I wanted to leave the airborne regiment.
Mm-hmm.
But in the military structure, you train in different areas and you're sent in different areas for retraining, etc., right?
Mm-hmm.
Never a moment I want to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, when I talk to the other men that I've talked to, they talk about how strong the bond was and that, you know, it's something that you could ever see anywhere else.
Impossible.
Yeah.
It can never be replaced. You can cut us apart. Rip us apart, tear us apart, but you cannot replace the bond that we have with one another.
Mm-hmm. Do you still talk to a lot of them? That guy?
He just came from Alberta.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Oh, really? That's why he's in here?
Really?
Yeah. Did you two meet when you first joined or in Cyprus?
Did you see him?
Mm-hmm. No, when did you meet him? When he came in? When
the
he
first week airborne.
Okay.
First week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so how did you find your time when you were in Turkey? Or, sorry, you weren't doing that. Cyprus.
Well, Cyprus is part of Turkey.
Yeah.
Part of Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Well, combined. How did you find the time?
Yeah.
I mean, what, the duration of the time?
Yeah, like, what did you do there? They
wasn't long enough.
They was long enough?
They wasn't long enough. You were so active in that you had patrol points, that you had to individuals who occupied, that you had to supply them, you had to, you know,
mm-hmm.
back and forth with them, you had to build openings so that they had some protection in the water or defense position, you know, sandbag bunkers, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It was always things to do.
Okay.
When they done the invasion and prior to the invasion.
How long were you there for?
6 months. That's the second tour.
Okay.
I went there in 1965 in my first tour.
Okay. But this was the time that you went with the Canadian Airborne, right?
Right. The first tour was between John.
Mm-hmm. When you were over there, did you ever find yourself interacting with other countries that had military groups over there as well?
Well, the British,
mm-hmm.
the Irish.
Okay.
You never interact with the Turks and the Greeks because they were the ones that you were supposedly babysitting as the United Nations.
Okay.
Which was the worst organization in the world, as you very well know. You don't have to be told. We wanted to prove that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you feel, at some points at all abandoned by the United Nations? That they kind of didn't give you enough support, or...?
The United Nations never ever did support any upgoing things that was Lou McKenzie, when you listen to his column,
mm-hmm.
you know, you try and get something done in Nicosia at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and get to UN headquarters in New York, it's all closed down and nothing happens. Romeo Dallaire's book points out quite bluntly what the United Nations did. All the United Nations done was drinking in that poppy as far as the soldiers and the generals who were working trying to keep things going in the Peace Corps system, right?
Yeah.
Canada was the strongest nation in the United Nations. Those accolades passed down over the years, 25 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because every time there was a little uprising around the world,
mm-hmm.
Canadian troops were fired in, but we never had the supply of bodies to go all around.
Okay.
Because their government system don't lead in the defense system.
Yeah.
They don't want a strong force.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the gross national percentage that paid for the national defense over the time period that we were in,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we first joined the military, we were getting out of my take home pay was $54 a month. But then again, though, you could buy a case of beer at $54.
So you were set.
Huh?
So you were set.
Well, we weren't big drinkers. We train hard.
Yeah.
We party hard, but very few times you had time to party. So if you got a long weekend break,
yeah,
on major exercise rendering, you had a good time for 8-10 hours.
Yeah. Were there any sort of defining moments for you? Anything that you specifically remember while you were in Cyprus?
Defining moments?
Mm-hmm. Like defining moments, like one or two moments that will stick out for you forever. Either dealing with the civilians there or.
One Thanksgiving evening.
Okay.
If you understood the Turks and the way the Greeks operate, we had fixed positions on all the OPs.
Mm-hmm.
We had machine guns in our positions. I was reading a book because at Thanksgiving, all the NCOs and officers occupied the OP so that the troops would have a Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Same as Christmas. One point comes into mind, they shot my lantern out. You got to call my lantern. So I was reading a book.
That's annoying.
It wasn't annoying to them because it was fun to them. That's the way the Turks and Greeks operate. They just do things just to stir up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very annoying to them when they had to move their bunker after I extended the ammunition I had on the OP. That was a very...
Yeah, that was more annoying.
Annoying to them. But you get a lot of little incidents like that, but it's never recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And you do honest record it.
Yeah, do you think there was a lot of stuff that happened while you were there or during your time at all with the Canadian Airborne Regime that there were things that happened that should have been reported that weren't reported?
When we were on watch?
Mm-hmm.
No, because when we were on watch, the Turks and the Greeks knew where we stood.
Mm-hmm.
It was firm.
Okay.
It didn't trigger with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had leadership in our organization at that time.
Yeah.
We had people who weren't scared to nip the bud in the beginning when there was a little incident coming up. They got on and they cleared it. Okay, and it never went. That was after it was finished.
Mm-hmm.
If we were having a problem in one area, we went out and straightened it out.
Okay.
it was only after the fact that when the airborne regiment had these little intricate things that was going on in Canada, because during the 70s and the 80s, the quality of people that they got in the military was reduced.
Okay.
They were.
Yeah.
They were reduced in the fact that human rights took control of the military. You couldn't train a soldier to be a soldier. You had to train them to be a politician or a little puppet. You couldn't give them the hardcore training that is required. You don't train civilians to go fight a war to be a crybaby. You either got to be tough enough to carry the task, or you don't. That's where they lose.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that was kind of, that was definitely the big fall in the Canadian military?
Exactly.
That was it. So the airborne, this is something that always really fascinates me, is you jumped out of a plane. I'm petrified to fly.
What?
I'm petrified. So scared to fly.
That's your psychological.
I know, but it just takes over. I cannot fly. I'm so scared to do it. Petrified. So I don't understand how you can jump out of a plane. What was that like? Because you have an injury, don't you, from it?
Yeah.
That you're still dealing with. I remember I got an email.
I think if you understand what it is to be an airborne soldier, you'd understand why they jump out of aircraft. There's a lot that can't do it. We've had a lot to go through the training program that can't pass the training program. Like you, because you got a fear of heights and stuff, a fear of flying. So that's where they weed out the individuals. Okay? You are. Maybe that's why the bond is so tight. You are a group that. How would you label them? Well, you watch The Devil's Brigade?
Mm-hmm.
Ever see the movie The Devil's Brigade?
Yeah.
That sort of sums it up, right?
Okay.
They're elite group. That's why I think the Airborne Regiment was disbanded, because they were scared. Because they knew they would get the job done. Like, how many days are there in killing our soldiers in Afghanistan today? Anywhere over the world. There's a lot of this could have been prevented. But do they want it prevented? Or do they want genocide? You will have to answer that one later on down the years when you get in a position. Whatever walk of life that you're going to take, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be somewhere down the road. You're going to be in command of something.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because you got to have the ambition to do something.
Yeah.
You're not going to just sit on the street and smoke dope here.
No.
Like the majority of these.
Mm-hmm.
Which they should be in the military. We should have conscription in the military.
Oh, you think we should have conscription?
We should have.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
No. I don't wanna see my friends get conscripted. It's scary. I don't know, I think it's a big generation thing, you know. We obviously, my generation hasn't experienced nearly the same things this generation has, and I think, you know, we're all very too comfortable where we are. People my age, we really don't like change. And, you know, we're scared to take risks. I think a lot of people are scared to kind of put themselves up there for a greater cause, which is sad.
But where have we went as a nation?
In respect to people? Nowhere. I don't think we've really gone anywhere.
Hey?
I don't really think we've gone anywhere.
No. I don't think we've hardened our people into the fact that reality now is setting in right now in the civilian interways. The crunches are coming down. People are finding an eye to maintain, to carry on a living and make a living and standard, etc.
Yeah.
But if you're prepared for that and you're hardcore enough, it doesn't matter what comes, you survive.
Mm-hmm.
Financially, physically, emotionally.
So you think all members of the Canadian Airborne will survive then?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. They can go 2 or 3 days without water, without food.
Yeah. Did you ever have any training where you had to do that?
Yes. We done a 6-week extended field course in Australia in 1971. We were thrown in the jungle and survived and what you could survive.
Mm-hmm. So, seeing some of my other research about the Canadian Airborne, it's being compared, I don't know, I just read comparisons of it similar to the Green Berets.
Mm-hmm.
America and the States, that kind
first of when they came out in Vietnam, etc. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you believe that that would be a good comparison of the two? The Green Berets were quite tough and hard edged.
The Green Berets?
Mm-hmm. Or do you think you guys
would come second to us?
Yeah. Which one's this?
Yeah. They were a very good organization, like the SEALs.
Okay.
The Navy SEALs. I have a son right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I shouldn't talk about this, but that's the way he's with the special
forces. Okay.
He gets several trips in Afghanistan, but that's why it doesn't bother me to know that he's there, because I know he's well prepared and well trained.
Okay. Yeah, do you think our troops or our men that are... Are men and women who are going to Afghanistan, they're not as trained as they should be, or, you know, there's definitely lack of funds there? And
Definitely not at peace.
Okay.
Why I say that, and to substantiate that, is the fact that we've got kids who are in Afghanistan, who are reserve kids, who had a couple of days training a week.
Yeah.
In a year or so, and then they have extended training a couple of 6 weeks, and then they're fired over there. But then again, they'll go back to government, the useless government that we have. You go back and say, well, during the Second and First World War, they weren't trained either.
Yeah.
But they soon got the training when they went into England.
Yeah.
Okay? Because we had soldiers in the Second World War trained with broom handles. They never had weapons.
Yeah.
And then there were politicians who gave them the Ross rifles, etc.
Yeah.
And the history, you know the history now.
Mm-hmm. So you're just finding, kind of everyone that I've talked to has just been, just mainly kind of a really lack of poor government with the end of the Canadian Airborne and the current state of the Canadian military. Just lack of poor government and the defense agency and everything like that.
Spineless leaders. Spineless leaders is most probably a weak word.
What leader do you think started that? Mulroney?
Trudeau? By bringing over that piece of paper across the pond. It's Charter of Rights.
Not a fan?
Hmm?
Not a fan?
Well, what did it do for the country?
Yeah.
A lot of people have different views because it's lackadaisical, it's relaxed, you don't have to worry about it, smoke the joint, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, but he had the paper, his son had the paper.
Mm-hmm.
I hope his other son becomes a little better than that, which I'm sure he will.
You're all fine.
But his son paid the severe supreme sacrifice for it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. So, why did you leave the Canadian Airborne?
Why did I leave the Canadian Airborne?
I don't worry about people.
I didn't leave the Canadian Airborne.
Okay.
They fire you out after X number of years. I had two tours in the Canadian Airborne. 1968 and I went back in 1974.
Okay, and then you were done?
Well, you get promoted. You go to different locations. You go to the instructor schools.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the battalion, the line battalions. The line battalions don't want to lose people who are coming up because of... The Canine Forces was a training vehicle for officers.
Okay.
Only. For promotions. Okay?
Okay.
And then they brought in some which were... some of the ones that we brought in. The guy who was at the helm when the Canadian Airborne Regiment went down was the Chaslain,
okay.
Which was a useless turkey.
Yeah.
Okay? General the Chaslain.
Yeah.
Because he was a useless turkey all the way through his military career and was pompous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
You never done any time with Airborne Regiment?
Yeah.
Lou McKenzie, you read Lou McKenzie's books?
No, but I wrote his name down because you've mentioned it.
You got one out right now. Soldiers Made Me Who I Am.
Okay.
Worthwhile reading. The Road Too Far in Sarajevo.
Okay.
He calls it as it is.
Yeah.
And tells you and gives you a real good insight on the United Nations when you talk about the structure.
Yeah.
The umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Anything the United Nations still today is just useless?
Useless?
Today.
Definitely. Because we've got too many other little countries who have veto power.
Yeah.
Which has got nothing and don't support.
Sure.
The United Nations will be run by the G8 only.
Yeah.
But there, yeah, that's one man's opinion.
Yeah. It's tricky.
And we've got a very small world now. 25, 30 years ago, the world wasn't so small. Now it's
shrinking.
Everything happens instant. We got it on TV.
Yeah. What are we kind of coming to, I guess?
Who'd ever think they'd have a leader, colored guy in the States, 208?
Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. Do you think he'll do a good job with America?
If you don't get assassinated.
Yeah, that's what everyone thinks. Yeah.
But no one will say that.
Yeah. I know, they think he's going to be the next JFK in that sort of sense.
I hope he doesn't.
Yeah.
Think he can do the job? He won't do the job until they get the system organized, the financial system organized.
Yeah.
Okay? Because without the financial system, nothing gets done.
Mm-hmm. So when you were done after 74 with the Canadian Airborne, what did you do after that?
After 74, I was posted to as a training NWO in Calgary with the PPC line. Adventures with Fishers, Canadian Light Infantry.
When were you done with the Canadian military altogether?
1983.
What was your position when you ended?
Master Warrant Officer, NWO.
Okay. So then, roughly about 10 years later, when Canada went into Somalia for the peacekeeping mission, Canadian Airborne, that's kind of when the whole huge controversy came about with Kyle Brown and everything. What were your thoughts during that time? Were you surprised at what happened? Did you think, you know, the punishment was correct, or...
What punishment did he get?
Kyle Brown, what punishment did he get? He was sentenced, I believe, for 15 years, but he got out on parole after three or five years. And then I know he was in Victoria, and he got a tattoo done at a tattoo parlor that used to be around down there. And now I know he's back in Edmonton. And that was him and Matthew, the other guy who was with him, he was supposed to be going to trial too, but he attempted to hang himself in one of the bunkers after, and sustained enough brain damage that he didn't have to go through.
Hung himself.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to.
Yeah, and then he didn't.
Should have hung himself.
Yeah. Pretty horrible.
Huh?
Do you think it was quite horrible, the whole situation?
Hang himself?
No, well, the whole situation.
No, he should have succeeded in hanging himself, because he deserved to be hung.
Yeah.
Because anyone with that mentality, obviously, who either on drugs, or he wasn't thinking as an airborne soldier.
Okay.
There was something lacking within the molecules that he had functioning in his brain.
Okay.
He never had it.
Did you know any of the sort of officers or commanding officers that were there at the time?
Yes.
Yeah? How well?
Quite well.
Mm-hmm. How do you think they handled the situation?
They didn't have anything to do with the situation, to handle it.
No?
They had a weak link there at the time, which was the chief warrant officer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to blow the whistle on him because of what he had done, but he was spineless.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So do you think
never happened under our watch.
Okay. What about Brown, do you think? Have you ever read the book Scapegoat?
Scapegoat?
Mm-hmm.
I most definitely did.
Yeah? What did you think of that?
What? fell within partially of the path of the scapegoat.
Okay.
Not all.
Okay.
That could have been handled, tucked in the bud, right down the spot by a good young senior NCO who was on duty at that night.
Mm-hmm.
Got that guy, and the chain of command and the system went which we were thought.
Mm-hmm.
How would it operate? Comes the guy, you guys captured, he comes in, fill it, bang, handcuff up the line.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we're trained to do.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously somewhere along the line they're either smoking pot, mm-hmm. or they took them guys from Edmonton who were smoking pot, etc.,
mm-hmm.
and gets them over there, and drugs are over there, it's too easy to come by.
Yeah.
But you have to have someone at the helm as a sergeant major or a sergeant say, hey, turkey.
Smart enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And not scared. But because they burned a sergeant's car in Edmonton, some of them were scared of retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
We glorified to have that incident when we were the Airborne Resident, because we would have most probably hung that guy himself personally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say we would, but he sure wouldn't be there the next day.
Yeah.
Especially if we were in a theater of war.
Yeah.
He would have been shipped out overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not in cuffs. But he would have been shipped out.
Mm-hmm. And what about the chief commander, the officer? He got acquitted. He was taken to trial too, but he got acquitted twice. Do you think that was fair? Do you think he should have taken some punishment from that too?
Before I answer that question, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
What does the government do to the military veterans today? Reference Orange, reference the Nevada napalm test?
I don't really know.
What have they done for them?
Not a lot.
They wait until they all die off. They don't pay them off or their spouses.
Okay.
The government will use anything as a cover-up. Our government, because our government is so corrupted, which we're finding out over the last 5-10 years.
Okay.
Because we've got a two-tier system in Canada. We've got the French, we've
yeah.
got the English.
Okay.
And no one wants to come to the hell and says, we're a one country. We're not a two-tier country.
Yeah.
Yes, there's nothing wrong with bilingualism. Not a bit in the world. But you can't split a country and say, okay, here's France, here's Canada.
Yeah.
And that's what we got in Canada today. That's our whole, basically our problem. Did. When that thing was going down, where did it happen from? What unit was there at the time? Was it the French element? Or was it the two commando element, the English speaker element?
Mm.
Who was having the problem in Edmonton? Was it the two commando element or was it the French speaking element?
Mm-hmm.
None of this ever comes out.
Okay.
Did it?
No.
Why? That's the question I'd pose to you. Why it didn't come out?
The government didn't want to deal with it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Government will cover up anything and sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, they're just lazy.
They don't have people at the locations that got the intentional fortitude to carry out the task that they're given.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, because we're in a society where there's such a different phrase going on. Like, well, I'm going to get elected, but I got to be nice because they won't elect me. If I come forward and say, yeah, these who are on the streets out there,
mm-hmm.
bombing, etc., give them a task, go down, pick them up, take them to manpower, and say, okay, we're going to be cleaning up this road and planting some trees today.
Yeah.
No, human rights says you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can let them sit there and medicate and go down to the welfare office and draw a check.
Yeah.
Why? But me and you pay for it.
Yeah.
You're not paying for it now because you're going to be in the first year, but when you start working, you're paying for it.
But I will, yeah.
Why? Think you should do?
No. Yeah.
So the answer to that question, in a long way around, right?
Yeah.
We gotta have someone there who is not scared. Okay? Changes got to come within our system. If the changes don't come within our system, we're going to deteriorate.
Yeah.
Okay? And is that what we want as a nation? Is that what we want? Like 2 days ago, we held the torch that was thrown to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
I'm sure my grandkids don't want that. I'm sure you don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't want to carry on that.
Mm-hmm.
They fought, they stayed there so that we could have that system.
Mm-hmm.
We paid for that system. But we're not paying for it by walking by and flipping a dollar onto them sitting on the street, are we?
No.
Are we paying for that?
Mm-hmm.
No. That's not what they fought for.
Yeah.
We got government systems. Is there something wrong with them? Sick or something? Get them into where they can get treatment, get help.
Mm-hmm.
But don't set up needles for them so they can inject themselves with it.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. Maybe I'm way out on left field. I'm thinking maybe the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm hallucinating with drugs. You know, but that's what I think. Solely in deep inside my this
mm-hmm.
ticker that goes in there, that's what I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in helping. I believe in doing good. I believe in working.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in fighting for a country that's worthwhile fighting for. Otherwise, why did my ancestors stay in Flanders Steel?
Yeah.
You know, it don't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to go through life, and there's going to be many turns going through our life. But it doesn't mean to say, because the turns get rough, that we have to give up.
Yeah.
We have to quit and take the easy route. That's what they've done in Seattle. They took the easy route, the government did. Instead of hiring the one individual before the incident happened, because that was the second time that individual interpreted the camp. Why wasn't he taking the first time and taking up the chain of command and then dispose of in a normal chain of command system and taken to the authorities? But in a theater of war, when you're in a theater of war, there's many rules and many systems that you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
That country and our own country. You're fighting in a country that there's no communication system. You're fighting for their democracy. Should we be fighting in that part of the world to bring our democracy system into their place? Do they want it?
Mm-hmm.
We think they want it because we look at the aspect of human rights only.
Yeah.
That's how we look at it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to keep people suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we went into Germany.
Mm-hmm. But do you think that's the same now with Afghanistan and Iraq?
Well, now they're starting to think that they can, you know, they can have a half decent life. The kids are getting schooled.
Mm-hmm.
Women now are getting to do work. They are becoming a part of this society.
Mm-hmm.
They're human beings.
Yeah.
You know? Humanitarian got to play a big role, but at the same time, without the infrastructure in place, without anything, water, schooling, hospitals, etc., what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And once they start seeing this coming into place, then what kind of people are they who are opposing that and destroying that?
Yeah.
So what does it tell you about the Muslim world?
Yeah.
Is it good? It's good to their way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not good to our way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe now that it's going to be hard, though, to leave? Because, like, what you're saying is, you know, we go in there and, you know, they might not want us there in the first place, but now after, you know, almost 7 years since 9/11, and, you know, almost 7 years since people first went into Afghanistan and Iraq from that now that after the years have gone, that, you know, they've started to form that democracy and that school system, and these women are having their own rights. But do you feel like now that people are talking about now with, you know, Obama being the new president, even, you know, Harper talking and wondering, you know, when can we leave? When is the time to leave? And do you think it's going to be good to leave soon, or do you think it's going to be like taking the legs out under the table? Like, do they still need that foundation, or do you think when are we going to know when it's okay to leave them?
That's why they got to come down slowly.
Okay.
If they knock the legs from underneath the table and it collapses, the Taliban moves in.
Yeah.
They've gone back to the same system. So why did we lose the lives going in there? Why did we spend the money and the infrastructure in there?
Yeah.
Okay, weed it out slowly until they get enough on the ground, etc. But we as a Western world, we've got to come in to them and say to President Parker, listen, here's what we want.
Mm-hmm.
By the 2011, because we're coming out by 2011. We want to.
You think we will be out by 2011?
I don't think the G8 is going to see. We got no control over what we do.
Yeah.
We say we have, but we don't have any control. I don't think the G8 is going to allow our troops to be out by 2011.
Yeah.
Because if they do, you think in the next 2 years that they're going to be stabilized?
No.
I mean, we're not geniuses, right?
Yeah.
But we do have a couple little molecules that think.
Mm-hmm.
unfortunately, that's why we have universities. We're very fortunate in the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have we can think with a straight mind, and we know how to follow a path.
Yeah.
Because we're taught that way. Our ancestors taught it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting eroded each year, a little more, a little more, a little more, and it's closing in, narrowing in. No, I don't think we'll be able to 2:11.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're hardcore enough to say, pull them on 2:11, you can't take them kids and let them watch them die.
Yeah.
But it's not our way of thinking. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
And the Americans will want to have a base there anyway.
Yeah.
Still, I think.
So you have the one son? How many children do you have, if you don't mind me asking?
I've got two sons and a daughter.
Very nice. And just the one son is involved in a military aspect?
Yeah, the other is the contractor in Cold Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter is in just south of the Duke. Her husband works for the oil field.
Okay.
I have a grandson going to promotion college.
Oh, really?
And my daughter's.
Nice.
He's taking business admin.
Oof. Fancy.
Huh?
Fancy.
Fancy?
Fancy.
Why, fancy? What is
business
it?
Administration?
Is it?
I don't know, I think
that's
so.
A lazy way, I think.
No, don't say that. Do you, you must be really proud of your son then, though, of following in your footsteps.
Both of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have six grandchildren.
Wow. He must be proud of you. Do you tell them stories about the airborne?
Okay. No, I don't talk to them about that.
No?
The military. If they ask me a question, I'll tell them.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're so far apart, I'm out here. I came out there because my son was out there, and when I got out there established and built a house, my son got posted to Ontario, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've got kids now, and they've got their own life. I'm not going to be on their doorstep,
mm-hmm.
but I'm always there.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a phone call or an email.
Mm-hmm.
Never lie to them.
Never lie to them about it.
They ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
You narrow it down to what the key thing that you want to answer them.
Mm-hmm. Try to teach them a lesson in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, by your hat, you obviously support the troops that are away.
You can't do anything else.
Yeah, you have to support them. I agree. Do you think they should have gone in the first place?
They should have went in, most probably. Kretchen should have fired them in there instantly when it came up. See, when something flares up, if you get in and nip it in the bud, then you can horn it out.
Mm-hmm.
But when something spreads out and gets more going, it's harder to detect it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who am I? I'm not a politician. Because
mm-hmm.
if I had my way with politicians, you know, we got to amend it to start with. And all they have to do is 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and they get $35,000-$40,000 a year pension.
Yeah.
We have to do 30 years and get $800 a month pension. And when mm-hmm. we get 65, they clock $280 back off you.
That's crazy.
Right?
It's crazy.
The old clawback. So what you do is you give your time and your devotion to your country, and then they penalize it.
Yeah. So after the Canadian Airborne, after it was disbanded and everything, you're obviously extremely passionate about your time, which I think is great. It's really nice to see. You're probably the most passionate one I've interviewed so far,
mm-hmm.
which is lovely. I think that's fantastic. I think, you know, we're really lacking that today in society, that kind of passion that so many people are driven by. But after it was disbanded, are you still as proud as you were before?
Of being airborne?
Yeah.
As an airborne unit?
Yeah.
Every day I get prouder.
Okay.
But it, what it done, I think, mm-hmm. to a lot of us individuals, because we have a reunion every year.
Okay.
It breaks the hearts of them and the soul that we were brought up, taught to believe that our government was there for us. mm-hmm. protect us, be a part of it. We're fighting for the human structure of how government was controlling it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they turn around, you know, when we go through the things that our soldiers are going through now, I don't know if you ever read the article that they've done an interview on, one of that's from your group, university, on Chief Warrant Officer Byron in South Spring Island. You ever see that paper?
I think I've heard about it.
You know?
Yeah.
That's devastating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why he should be fighting? Because the way he's off nickel and dimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But the soldiers, a lot of the veterans were let down when they came back. The Korean War, for example, the funds that were left in the Korean War that they had for when they came back from the Korean War, there was money there for the VLA, for them to start housing the VLA to get them started.
Mm-hmm.
They took it through it in the general funds and squashed and spent it. And there was no money left there for them. But yet they went into Korea, a lot of them never came back.
Yeah.
You know? Why? Well, the politicians want to squander it.
Mm-hmm.
The politicians are not concerned about your money and your wealth, as long as you get as much out of you as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we taxed so much in our own country? Because in order to sustain the social life that we have, but who pays for the social life that we have? The workers.
Mm-hmm.
And who protects the social life that we have? Soldiers.
Yeah.
If something happens, if we had a crisis in Montreal today, 1972 is a prime example, the FLD crisis, we're there.
Yeah.
When it went into after the Olympics in Germany, when they had the Israelis
shot. Yeah.
We had 76, we had our Olympics. We were there at the Olympics. The military, the airborne regiment was there. Was there an incident during the 76 Olympic? But there was one in Munich 4 years before, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That they couldn't control. But there was nothing happened 76 Olympics in Canada, didn't it?
Mm-mm.
You know why?
Because you were there.
Because the airborne regiment, because they were there, and because they knew they were working with COJO, which was the security for the Olympics.
Yeah.
Part of it. But they were there. Any actions, there was a lot of little things action, but it was never publicized.
Yeah.
But it was taken and was cleared up. Because it was instant. Because you had the mobility, you had the helicopters, you had the sun.
Yeah.
There was a lot of weapons picked up during the Olympics, but they'll never tell you that.
Wow. Yeah.
You could have had the same disaster that they had in Munich.
Yeah.
But it never happened. Same thing with the Olympics going on here right now. There's going to be a lot of military involvement too.
You sure?
Well, I know so.
Yeah.
Because Canada, our government system is, we protect the government. We protect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But once the protection is done, forget about them. They've done the job.
Yeah.
Trauma to the field. Let the rats eat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the government treats military.
Yeah.
But if we keep fighting the aspect, then you young generations are the ones that's got to be, you know, maybe not you, but your co-partners, your friends, etc., they wind up in the military somewhere.
Yeah.
And if it gets so bad within the Western world, if the pressure keeps coming down, they don't control this thing in the East right now, if it builds up enough, we're going to have prescription in our system.
Yeah.
You're not going to have no choice. Because nobody wants to join the military right now.
Uh-huh.
How many young kids in the university you talk to wants to be part of the military?
No.
None.
Think they'll start conscription, they'll conscript women as well?
Say again?
If they start conscription,
mm-hmm.
if they start a conscript game, will they conscript women as well?
Well, they're going to have no choice because they can't discriminate now, because when we brought the Human Act into and equal rights into our play,
mm-hmm.
you're part of us.
Mm-hmm.
But no soldier is going to see a woman go down, right?
Yeah.
Because that's their thinking.
Mm-hmm. That's good, though.
Yeah.
Proud men.
Right?
Good people.
Yes.
Very good people.
You see, you go into bars and someone says something to a woman or slaps a woman and says, what do you see? First thing you see is reaction.
Yeah.
You know, to protect her.
Yeah.
Because that's our way.
Yeah.
It doesn't change.
Good.
And that's why we have this fundamental feeling among soldiers, individuals. Mm-hmm. That's how often I put that.
Yeah.
If you could ever get them thinking in the Middle East the way we think in respect to people, the women would never struggle to have.
So would you say that you're strongest coming out of the military now? You say your biggest tie is that bond between you and the men that you're over there with, and just the general bond that you have with soldiers.
Oh, yes.
Just that bond.
You know, it's difficult to let this out, but it's always your buddies in the military.
Mm-hmm.
It's most probably on par with your family.
Yeah.
You know, it's like blood brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know for a fact that, you know, blood is thicker than water, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to see your blood brother go down because you're going to sidestep. It's a pretty high shot to power.
Yeah.
Thin line.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the long rib. What do you call that? Hanks? The long green line, is it?
Green Mile.
Is it Hanks? Tom Hanks?
Yeah, the Green Mile.
Yeah.
That movie, yeah.
You watched the movie?
Yeah.
No. Seeing him when he went in to execute him and put the cap on him, right?
Yeah.
That's the feeling you get. You get that feeling in your stomach with comrades.
Mm-hmm.
Even saying goodbye to them at the Air Force, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what it's all about. You don't take 20, 30 years of comradeship and then throw it in.
Yeah. It's there forever.
You never lose it.
Yeah.
Even today, some of the interviews that we do with them on Remembrance Day, you know, Fire Remembrance Day, some of these old guys that reunite with the guys who shot them down, the pilots.
Yeah.
There's no animosity between them, even though they were enemies at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they were there doing a job for their country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they meet and I guess it's a mechanism that's built in.
Yeah.
Some people call it maybe brainwashed. I don't know. Is it brainwashed?
I don't think so.
If it's brainwashed, then how do you train soldiers? Why do you train soldiers? You know, what's the whole aspect of training soldiers? Train to protect what we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Is our way the right way? There's only we can decide that.
Yeah.
Individuals. Is the Middle East way the right way? Someone to grow, where the sacrifice, scraps to the father, you said a female, not the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what, the way we want to go? I don't know.
No.
I don't think I can see growing up little kids in the streets, in the markets. I don't think so.
Yeah. The kid ones, you see, like when I interviewed a guy who was in the Canadian Airborne and was there during the early 90s, late 80s, during the Iraq and Iran War as a medic, and he said that was the worst thing, was seeing the children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just one.
Yeah. That's it. Just post-traumatic stress.
We went into Cyprus in 1965, and at the time they were just getting over that invasion thing, right? And the Red Cross was setting up. We built up the building that was bombed for the Red Cross and set them up with cots and set them up. The soldiers that we had there at the time, it was endless hours.
Yeah.
There was no limit. It was 24 hours, 36 hours. You didn't want sleep, so the little kids would have a place to lie down. Now, it's difficult to swallow at the same time, you know. You change from there and you go here 24 hours down the road and you're killing people. Does that make sense?
Did you ever have to shoot your weapon?
Pardon me?
Did you ever have to shoot your weapon?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Still don't.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah?
Good for you, I said. Yeah, it's fine. Why not? What you were trained to do.
A lot of people let it get through them. I just put it on the back shelf.
Good for you. Very admirable.
Yeah. And the whole First World War, Second World War, that's today. They tell you, you know, yeah. They feel emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's normal instinct to feel emotionally.
Yeah.
But an airborne soldier and a truck driver or a mechanic has a different feeling.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why they have a different feeling is they get the intensive training that they go through.
Yeah.
Not saying that the airborne soldier is better than the mechanic or the cook or the medic or etc.
Yeah.
But they just go through the same psychological training aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think the Canadian Airborne reputation of being very tough and well trained and hard men. It rings true, I think. 4 out of 4 with my interviews.
Yeah.
All good for them.
Well, you have to, otherwise you don't get a job done, right?
Yeah.
You can't be any different.
Yeah. Yeah, might as well do it right if you're going to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mhm. Well, we're at about an hour for our interview time. Which
you appreciate it.
I appreciate it so much on behalf of myself and University of Victoria. Okay. Thank you so much.
Very welcome.
It's really good. That's the recorder. So, I don't know how to use this thing.